This project is extremely dangerous.
It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord, Carol the Cat, the Giddy Geeker, and Tiffany the Technician.
People assume that time is a strict progression of cause to effect, but actually, from a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff.
And now, damn right they shot first, the hosts of Guardians of the Geekery.
Damn, she loves you. Yeah,
she just stays at stays
Mine's
at AirCloud
at 8:15.
Forever.
Yeah.
It's at AirCloud,
tomorrow?
Right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Late night hair appointments.
We're going, you know, we're going to convention. We have to look great.
On Guardians of the Geekers podcast.
Are you recording?
Oh yeah.
Oh damn!
Cut it off.
Is that like the Carolina Panthers?
This makes me think of Tiger
just a
YouTube.
Lady. You guys,
no, that is like the Carolina Panthers.
That
though.
Sounded totally like a car commercial. Like. Come down to your cougar dealer.
We're going
to
be talking about the Black Panther. So, wait, no, that's not right, is it?
Will you put my porg down, please?
No, baby.
Do not touch the porg.
Unhand the porg.
Oh no. The Panther.
He can't touch the button. He can't touch it.
Or the pork. It's horrible. Oh, this is too much fun. All right.
We're talking about Black Panther.
Oh, Black Panther, yeah.
Black Panther.
And Tasha's with us.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. You might have heard her on episode 204. Do you guys ever listen to Guardians of the Geekery podcast?
Yeah.
I listen to it all the time.
Hell no. I mean, yes, of course.
Wow.
It's my favorite.
That hurts.
I don't believe it. So we all went to see Black Panther together, and then Tasha went as well.
Yeah.
And we gave a little short blurb about what we thought about it, but this is going to be total spoilerific Black Panther conversation.
Don't listen.
Noelle, go watch it and then come back and listen and tell us whether you agree with us or not. So
what spoiler do you want to start with? Yeah. What spoiler? Black Panther is African American.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First spoiler.
No, wait,
first spoiler.
Time out. He's just African.
He's African.
He's not American.
He's African Wakandan.
The actor is from South Carolina. That's right. All right. Gotcha. True story.
He is.
And he's a Tar Heels fan, I read. So
But T'Challa is actually just African.
Gesundheit. No, Wakanda is a fictional country.
It's not fictional.
I saw on the internet that there was a flight to Wakanda from Atlanta.
Oh, Atlanta is offering free flights.
Free flights to Wakanda, yeah.
That's how they steal your
they
kidneys.
Offered free flights to Middle Earth as well when the Lord of the Rings came.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, but basically they let you check your luggage in and then you never get it back.
Just never go.
Oh, that's good.
And then they sell it off.
You wake up in a bathtub and your kidney's gone.
So,
I think that's how it goes,
Black
right?
Panther, the 18th film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
This is the end of phase.
Is it the end of phase?
End
two?
Of phase two. Yeah.
Wow.
I thought it was going to be like the beginning of phase whatever.
Three.
But yeah.
But I can see why this is the end of phase two, because this really, and it's one of the things I like about this film. Okay, so are we talking plot or are we just going straight into the film?
Whatever makes you happy.
Drink some water, drink some coffee.
One of the things I really like about this film is it is very self-contained. You really don't need to see another Marvel movie to appreciate this.
No.
It helps a little bit if you've seen Winter Soldier, but they actually kind of recap the important part of that in the movie, which is the death of King T'Chaka.
Well, yeah.
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 So I did like that you didn't have to see any of the other Marvel movies. It's just really a self-contained film.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't even have to be a Marvel film. I'm glad it is. But, you know, other than the Stan Lee cameo, it could have not been a Marvel movie at all.
Well, except for the fact that it's very well done and the characters are well written and well acted.
I'm appreciative of the fact that it was a Marvel film and it had Marvel money behind it.
Are you saying not a DC film except for Wonder Woman? Is that what you're saying, basically?
All right. For two-thirds of Wonder Woman, yeah.
Two-thirds.
So Tiffles had something to say.
Oh, I was going to say I was glad that it was basically a self-contained movie as well, because I don't remember basically anything about any Marvel movies that I've previously seen. So,
step away from the drugs.
But speaking of DC movies, I do feel like this film would have been served by having Henry Cavill in as Superman. But
different studio.
But then you thought Call Me By Your Name would be better served if Henry Cavill showed up as Superman.
Like, oh my God, him is him and Armie Hammer making out. Fuck yeah.
I'd like to see him on a remake of On Golden Pond. I think that'd be really...
This is not the Henry Cavill episode. As much as Tiffany would like to make it that. Yeah.
No, I think that is good about the, you know, about the self-containers, because that was my problem when I saw the new Spider-Man Homecoming the second time. It like really bugged me that like it starts off and it's so like heavy into the Marvel universe, and it, and then there's Iron Man, and then there's all that stuff, you know, just like it was too away. Yeah, I was like, this is Spider-Man, let Spider-Man be Spider-Man.
Wait, Tony.
Yeah. I want to see him webbing around and getting into hijinks, all that fun.
That being said, I certainly hope that Princess Shuri shows up in another MCU film, because I really want to see her get into a tech off with Tony Stark.
Oh yeah.
But see, like, I've seen, and you don't have to whisper.
That would be badass.
Okay, so Tasha, the rule of like movie week conversation is it's like improv.
We just talk.
So if you don't jump in, we don't let you talk.
So I just got to jump in.
You just got to jump in.
Let me put some hot coals on the fire here. Hold on a second.
So what were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, so Princess Shuri. Love her. Letitia Wright did a great job. I don't think she and Tony Stark would be on the same side.
Well, no, that'd be it. They'd be teching off. They'd be in different rooms building tech, and then because, they'd be like, mine's better.
Well, no, but have you seen the, there's a meme out already where it's like, you know, so you made that, you know, and she's like, yeah. You know, where it's Tony Stark, and it's like, but she would totally be on Captain America's side because she's with Bucky.
Going to get back together in Infinity War anyway because they have a common.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Well, actually, for the next phase, what's interesting in the comic books, Tony Stark dies, and I forget her name. Anyway, she becomes Ironheart, but it's basically a teenager who's like really smart, and she takes over Iron Man. Becomes like Ironheart, so that could be a totally doable thing
with
to use.
I love the fact
that's the only person who could pull that off, I think, that we know of right now.
Yeah, I love the fact that she wasn't just the Q or the, you know, she wasn't just the Alfred or the Q or the person in the back doing.
Here's
the
your
tech.
Little tech things. Go on your mission.
Yeah, she wasn't Felicity Smokes or anything like that. She was like totally badass out there, and she put her own, you know, Infinity Gauntlets on her Hulk hands, or her little panther hands on, but she kicked butt with it. She was out there fighting right next to everybody. She wasn't sitting back. You know, she left Martin Freeman back there, and he was like, "White man, stay here. We're gonna kick some ass now." But yeah, I mean. little hobbit, you stay here.
She was a pilot. It made sense.
No, it totally made sense for him to be there, but I thought it was really interesting because they did keep him segregated out of it. Now, it could have been because of other things that they had in the schedule that, you know, it was better to have him in alone scenes, but, you know, he was definitely off by himself. I did think the tech was interesting because it reminded me of the alien class in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 that got pissed off.
Yes. Yeah.
The golden people, whatever their names are.
Just a virtual reality of it, sort of.
Yeah, because it's like here, if these one group does it, this other group could do it too. The fact that she had come up with that. And I thought that was pretty kick-ass, but... Mm-hmm.
She is technically a Disney princess now.
I know. I love that. Somebody was like, well, that's it. She's a Disney princess. I love it. I love the way they ended that story in the movie for that. I mean, it didn't end, but you know how they left that story that she was going to take and give her STEM. You know, we were all about STEM girls, but she was going to take her science and bring it to the streets. And I thought that was cool. You know,
they brought the technology that Killmonger wanted to be brought, but it, a different version, a
different
of it.
Way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And speaking of Killmonger, I thought he was actually one of the more interesting villains in recent superhero movies.
One of the more complete villains.
Yeah.
Non-CGI, which was cool.
Which was which was really nice. I have, as much as I love superhero movies, I do have a problem with that third act when it's just nothing but your hero beating up on a CGI character, which was my problem with Wonder Woman. Because for 20 minutes, you had Wonder Woman beating up on a CGI character. It's like, you did so good for two-thirds of the film. But here it wasn't. And actually speaking, he kicks Black Panther's ass, and without cheating and without... Yeah. Underhandedness, he just beats the crap out of him.
Yeah.
And he's got a motivation, unlike most of the villain.
And it's a motivation you actually understand. Yeah.
I like the fact that this movie was not a single character movie. I mean, like with Thor, you know, Thor was like the person defending everybody else, and you know, the humans on Earth were running around trying to do the tech stuff, but you know, in the first Thor movie, he was the person. And in Black Panther, as much as he goes out and fights, it's very clear that all the other characters in there have been fighting all along, and they're fighting with him. He's never fighting totally alone. And I thought that was really cool. And I really liked, you know, even more than Wonder Woman, the female empowerment in this movie was pretty amazing. Oh,
yeah, it was. Yeah. There's a lot of really strong women in this film.
Yeah. Danai Gurira and Lupita
Nyong'o.
Yeah. I heard Danai, right? Mm-hmm. Danai's interview on ID10T, which was the old Nerdist podcast. And, I never watched The Walking Dead, so I didn't really know what she looked like. I just heard the interview, and so I was never sure if she was Nakia or if she was...
No, she was the general.
Yeah. No, I realized that afterwards, but I was like, that was so badass. She was awesome.
Yeah, she's pretty badass on Walking Dead, too. She plays Michonne.
Yeah.
Probably one of the only characters I watch the damn show for anymore, because it's just sunk into such... banality, but
she's an award-winning playwright,
and
she is an amazing individual, so I just thought she was amazing. And I loved the fight scene in the casino. I thought I actually got to see a little video clip with Ryan Coogler where he actually talks about that fight scene, and he goes into more depth on some of the stuff.
Was that just a one shot?
It was not...
Because it looked like it was just one sequence.
It was a continuous sequence, and it was a choreographed sequence. There was very few CGI moments in there. Some of the blast explosions were CGI, and when the guy falls on the pool table, that's CGI.
Okay.
But the rest of it, like, they shot like a play. So there was multiple times, and they were all choreographed. So he was like, even though this is not... Lupita's scene, you can see her green dress up here because she's actually in the scene still. And even though this is not Danai's, you know, thing, you can see her over here. And the thing that I thought was amazing was some of the subtleties too, because like Black Panther's dressed in black, obviously. Mm-hmm. Lupita was in green, and the green was actually created off of a 3D digital printer to have all of the incorporation of the symbols of the Wakandan language in it. Whoa. And then Lupita's outfit, Danai's outfit was red and had the gold in it, which was similar to the red and gold outfit that she wore as the warrior back on Wakanda. But red, green, and black are the colors of the African flag.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was all incorporated in there. And, like, Lupita was the only one wearing red. I mean, green. And Danai, whatever. Miss Guerrera was the only one wearing red. So that was pretty amazing. And they said the only thing that wasn't real, like the guy that got kicked off of the the second floor. Yeah, he really got kicked off. Like, he got kicked off. Like, when you see him fall, that's CGI, but he truly got kicked off onto, like, a mattress. But cool. The only thing that wasn't real was the spear had a rubber tip on it. But it was a real, like, she, just like she learned how to use it in The Walking Dead.
Yeah, she uses a katana in The Walking Dead.
It was awesome. So, I think there's so much to this film. That's what I think is so amazing. And the thing that I loved about it was the fact that so many people I saw posting about, I want to go back and learn more about the outfits that were chosen. Yeah. I want to learn more about the language that was spoken. I want to learn more about this and I want to learn more about that. And I was like, the fact that this is more than just an action movie, but it's people saying, I want to go learn more and then come back and watch it. Not just, I want to go see the fight scenes again, but I want to go learn all this stuff and come back.
Yeah, the costuming in this is actually really, really spectacular. And it does make you want to go home and research tribes in Africa to see where they got the inspiration from, because each of the Wakandan tribes has a very specific look.
Yes. And Ryan and his team really thought about all of that when they were doing that. So that was, there was a lot of thought that went into this movie, which is very exciting.
That people got from it. Like, a lot of people really had positive feedback on it. And it was like, what, 400 million, over 400 million?
404 for opening weekend. Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's breaking records left and right, and I think it deserves them.
Yeah.
You know, it's not something overhyped that didn't get what it deserved. Right. I mean, I think it deserves
Think it's perfect, but I think it's an incredibly good film.
So what don't you think is perfect?
I think there are some CGI shots that don't quite work, and it could be because we watched it in 3D. But some of the street scenes when they were walking through Wakanda, it looked very green screen to me. And there was a couple of shots on the waterfall that looked very green screen to me as well. But that could be because we were seeing it in 3D. And as much as I usually do love him, this is the second movie that Forrest Whitaker really hasn't done it for me.
What was the first one?
Rogue One.
Yeah.
It was like, everybody's great except you.
And they kill him off both times. And it's like, I'm glad. It's
like, but that was, yeah, somebody said that Forrest Whitaker's the new Sean Bean.
Yeah.
So.
So, there was a couple little hiccups. It's not like, I gave it a B+. It's not like, I think that this is a bad film. It's certainly not a bad film.
I did think in the first initiation waterfall scene, I do remember trying to see if I could spot Matt people, like CGI'd, you know, it's a trick. But I didn't see them because it wasn't long enough of a shot. But I thought the colors in the water. I guess for me, the CGI doesn't bother me as much because I play so much MMORPG. That I'm used to everything being CGI. So
it takes me out of the moment.
I wonder where this world is in Rift.
Yeah, it takes me out of the moment a little bit. And as much as I like the backstory and the history and the traditions that are explained, there are times where it slows down the story a little bit because they have to say, okay, stop now. We have to go visit our ancestors. and it's necessary, but...
the ancestor scene was kind of cool, but that's just...
I really liked it, how they covered him up in... sand? Was it sand?
Or red sand.
Himalayan
sand.
Yeah.
Which remind me of Rogue One, too. So.
But it these are minor quibbles. These are really minor quibbles. So, I mean, I anticipate this will be close to my best 10 list at the end of the year. Unless something, you know, unless it's a really spectacular year. Granted, it is only February, but...
I think they'll get some Oscar nominations. Yeah. I know the Academy is weird right now about superhero movies.
But yeah.
I think the costuming alone is worthy of nominations, if nothing else. And I think there's so much that it's worthy.
Yeah, but then if you look at Wonder Woman, the Academy completely shut that out. And I thought at least it would get a costume nomination. I didn't think it necessarily needed anything else, but it didn't even get a costume. So it depends on, you know, later on in the year what happens. But
maybe it'll get editing award.
Have y'all Star listened Wars to the album? Kendrick Lamar's album.
So I started to listen to it at work and I hadn't seen the movie yet. And so now I want to go back and listen to it because I think some albums are better once you've seen the story because you can play it in your head while you're watching.
They didn't use a lot of his songs throughout the movie, but they used it like at the end credit scenes.
Yeah.
They used it a lot more throughout that.
Yeah.
So I was kind of disappointed they didn't use it as much throughout the movie.
They had some very distinctive African chanting that they did throughout the movie, and that was intentional. And just like in Star Wars films where certain characters always have certain themes running underneath them, same thing. I mean, John Williams does that in everything, Harry Potter, everything like that.
Yeah.
They did that throughout Black Panther as well. So you may not hear the exact same movie music every time, but you would hear the same music styling around certain people, which again, I want to go back and watch now that I know that, you know. Yeah. I totally see myself watching this two or three more times.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and see it again, at least one more time in the theater, and I'll probably see it 2D just to see if that affects 2D. See if that affects the CGI at all.
There was one scene where they did the swirl.
Yeah,
I'm pointing with my finger, and I apologize, but they do kind of like that spinner table thing where you start seeing the character upside down and then they spin him around so he's right side up, and it was very slow, and that was the one thing that kind of triggered vertigo for me. The rest of it I was okay, but that one just kind of really, I was like, oh, I gotta close my eyes for that part. So
what do you guys think of how Michael B. Jordan died?
I thought his final words were incredible.
How he brought up, like, ancestry, like, dang.
That was like, damn, was dude.
He died with dignity.
Yeah, and like any Marvel movie, I don't even know if he's actually dead, because, you know, they have a tendency to resurrect everybody. It's like, you're dead. No, you're not. You're dead. No, you're not. But I thought he had an incredible, I liked his arc. I really did. And I thought Michael B. Jordan was actually excellent.
Yeah. Like, I really, truly feel like they gave him a full character. Mm-hmm. I think the one that I was sad about was Andy Serkis.
I know. It's so nice to see actually see Andy Serkis in a film and not just, you know, CGI Andy Serkis.
And he's my body type. I mean, you know this. So I'm like,
oh, I think he's cute as a button.
Why did you have to go and kill my man?
I like Martin Freeman quick. A little bit more.
I love me Martin Freeman.
I love me some Martin Freeman.
But I'm too tall, and I just can't go there.
I could work with it.
No.
I'll take Bilbo. Thank you.
No. And Andy Serkis is probably a little short for me, too. I mean, I think he's probably right at 5'10", 5'11", but he's my body type, so I'm like, yeah, I could do him.
And that was the other CGI thing that...
And they did the little vest. I'm sorry. I just have to...
Yeah. That was the other CGI thing that was kind of quirking me, is because they digitally remove his arm when they remove... Yeah. And that... Actually, there was a couple of times where it's obvious his arm was moving because his sleeve was moving.
But it was subtle. You had to pay attention to it. And
I was paying attention to it because it just drew my eye. So
yeah. I like the way they handled Bucky's arm at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the thing I was thinking about, and I'm going to say something, and I don't know how to say it properly, so I'm asking for forgiveness in advance, okay?
Okay.
So how do I, as a cis white female, cosplay Wakanda?
You don't.
You can't. But yet, I have no problem with the diversity of Wonder Woman cosplay.
I think you can take elements of the costume as long as you are not in any way, shape, or form.
Here was my problem. There was diversity in the cast. We did have Martin Freeman. We did have Andy Serkis and stuff that there was not.
You're Tolkien white guys.
I know. I love that. but there was no, and I, it doesn't have to be. It's not a necessity. But as somebody who loves the film, how do I mean, other than wearing a t-shirt about it, I guess. So.
You could be a female Claw.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that doesn't work for me.
Let me just get this saw and we'll just...
And we'll just take your arm off.
The fact that you're already moving towards the home improvement section of our house is making me nervous. I think this is one of those things
where you can take elements of each costume, or you can take elements of the costume and incorporate it. You can almost, you know... do the Disney Bound thing where you just take elements, but
right. Mm-hmm. I like totally loved seeing people that showed up in African gear and stuff like that. I would never do that because I just feel like it would be misappropriation by me of trying to take that on.
Yeah.
You could do the African flag elements. Colors into like your leggings because you have some really cool leggings.
Yeah.
I'm sure you could find some of those.
I actually had pulled out, I have a African necklace that, so my mom used to work with Tufts Veterinary Clinic International, and a lot of the doctors would go to Africa to learn how to work on some of the more exotic animals so that then they could come back stateside and have that experience. And so a doctor that was down there had gotten me an African necklace and I totally wanted to wear it. And I was like, I just don't feel like that would be embraced. So
why not?
I don't know.
I
was concerned.
I
was concerned and I would not want to
offend anybody. Yeah.
See, and I'm on the other spectrum where I think like I took to heart toward the end of the movie where he talks about becoming one tribe and one community.
And absolutely.
Really I mean, I kind of look like a Russian spy, so I can pass for a lot of different things, unfortunately. But Black I just...
Widow.
Maybe.
You could yoga it up on Black Widow. I've seen those poses, and she doesn't hold them long because she's like throwing things the whole time.
I don't know if it's something like living outside of Utah, and I've just become more aware of it. But it's just like, oh, there really is diversity and there's a yes and no when it comes to cosplaying.
I just think I just think there's so few characters that right. The Black community can draw from mm-hmm. that it's one of those things where I'm just going to let you have those because good grief, you need more.
Right. So. And I get that. But, you know, it's like, you know, I would love one of the bracelets like Shuri wore.
And I think
and some
that
of
is,
that.
I would enjoy that. I would that's that. Fine. Sure. I think that's fine. I think if you're just doing it
like
complete cosplay.
Don't darken weird. Your skin. Like,
yeah.
That's going to be
well,
like,
it's going to be, yeah,
there's
don't
that
do that.
Line.
Yeah.
Well, and secondly, yeah, this girl don't tan, so it doesn't happen. My mom is actually, you know, has Indian blood in her and she's like a Band-Aid Soleil commercial. She goes out for 5 minutes and she's, you know, she's beautifully olive skinned and I kind of hate her.
Yeah. I'm Scottish. I go out in the sun and I just turn beet red.
Well, you and me both. So, you know, it's like, Dad, of all the things you gave me, why'd you give me this? But yeah, so that's just never an option anyway. So, but yeah, no, I totally loved it. I just, I want to support it as much as I can. So I think it was a good message. I think it was a good movie and I think it was a good story.
Yeah.
And I think that it's very exciting and I hope to see a lot more things like this. So
one thing that did one little niggle that bothered me at the very end of the after credit scene, where you had Bucky, it said the Winter Soldier will be back in Infinity War. I'm like, this was a Black Panther movie. What about Black Panther?
Ties it in maybe though.
Yeah.
In
just,
a weird way.
It's just a weird way. It's like, well, couldn't you say Black
but
Panther?
But hey, remember.
Couldn't you say Black Panther and Winter Soldier will be back? What'd you give it
well,
to because
he was for? Already kind of back. I did like the, I did like the kind of United Nations scene at the end where it's like, well, what can you bring? And he just smiles. It's like,
you have no idea.
I got more vibranium than anybody.
My thing with the Winter Soldier thing is I genuinely cannot remember what happens. Like, I'm like, oh.
So they stored him in Wakanda.
That's
at the end of
America's
Civil,
friend?
Yeah, at the end of Winter Soldier. Like, yeah. At the end of Winter Soldier, they took off his arm and basically stored him in Wakanda. They had him like in hyperspace.
So, because Captain America chose to save him rather than kill him.
Right. Like,
because
Iron Man
of what he had done. Because he wasn't Bucky when he did that. He was
the Winter Soldier.
When he
right.
did that.
Okay.
So I think the fact that you know, Shuri was there was the fact that she had the technology to make an arm that wasn't going to be a Nazi controlled arm, and maybe that she could help deprogram him because of the way that they have their medical technology.
I think it'd be funny if they gave him, they like had this montage of all the different arms they try. And then one of them is like one of like those used car salesmen, those like billowy type of balloon guys with the flaying arms, just have like one of those and like, no, that's not quite it. And then it's like Luke Skywalker's arm and they open it up and then
giant claw.
Yeah, it's always.
I feel like that would be totally something that Tony Stark would do if he liked
If you liked Bucky, he would totally mess with him.
It'd be awesome.
So the one character that we didn't talk about was
what?
One of my favorite characters. Now I can't think of his name.
Baku.
Yes.
They had to change his name because originally in the comics it was Gorilla Man or something.
It's Man Ape.
Man Ape. Yeah. And it was just like,
well, probably. Do you know something worse about all that? So what? Black Panther used to be in a comic book called Jungle Time Adventure or something like that. It was horrible. I mean, even in the 70s, it was a little horrible.
Well, I think the thing that was really funny with it was like, if you watch some of the little meme clips and GIF clips that are coming out, they're like, yeah, so somebody told Jack Kirby there wasn't enough white people in there, so then he made him fight the KKK.
There's your white people.
There's your white people. Man. You want me to bring more white people in?
He was funny.
Yeah, I'll say what's crazy, though, is like the atmosphere of Wakanda is all based all the way back on Jack Kirby's original like setting where, I mean, in the comics, you're like, this is insane. Where is this place? And they really did pull that together, and it's almost like its own character. It's just so Wakanda's so rich and beautiful, but it's like all goes back to that crazy 60s art that was like the pop art. And
yeah, but I love
even
Baku.
The warriors and stuff. But so yeah, Baku is amazing.
I think he was the perfect touch, and what amazingly dry wit and delivery. It was awesome. It was like, I will eat you.
We're all vegetarian.
I was like, okay, I could totally see that.
I just love his grace because like he could have become the next Panther. You know,
he came close.
He was real honest and just had grace about it and was like, no, he beat me fair and square. Yeah. So I'm going to let
his resilience just.
Well, and then they offered it to him and he still
was like,
that's
what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like he turned it. I mean, that's amazing to turn it down something like that because especially if it really is the last couple.
I didn't know. Like for me, like not flowers. Knowing a lot about Black Panther in the backstory, I was like, oh, he's alive.
He's
right there.
Well, and I liked
anytime you spill over waterfall, you're alive.
You're alive. Okay. Yeah. I liked some of the subtle choices too, like the fact that you know, he had the different outfits to choose from and he chose the outfit that he did and he explained why he chose it. And then Killmonger, like the very totally reason, like that totally was the one he took. That was the flashy one. That was the one he wanted. So
my thing with him, like, so I agree with that. Like, you know, I loved this movie and I really don't, I don't notice these CGI things. And
it's just, and all this stuff. My eye is trained for it. It's just, it's weird.
But I will say my one nitpicky thing with Killmonger, and I thought he was fantastic, was just if I understand he had some sort of baseline knowledge of Wakanda just because his father was Wakandan, but like I didn't get the impression it was a lot of information. Like, how did he know what he had to do to like become?
Because it was in that book in the wall,
in the journal.
Everything was in the journal, including the language, because he actually spoke Wakandan. I thought it was rather. Well, it's a good thing that you landed on that one guy's farm that wanted you to kill Claw. Like, that's great that you landed there.
Because somebody else would have been like, why the fuck is there a dead white guy in this bag? What's going on? This is not what I ordered.
Well, I don't know what you heard about us.
Amazon Prime sucks, man.
But he was like special intelligence and
Yeah,
I understand that you have to have a suspension of disbelief. Yeah. However, like they lived outside of the Wakandan dome.
No.
The gentleman.
No, that tribe was inside.
It's right inside.
It was right in the inside.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Because otherwise, those rhinos would have been picked up immediately. Those were huge rhinos.
Those rhinos were huge.
I did love that moment with the rhino. Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
And it licks her face. what do we think happens with him? Because like again, like his woman is
well, he's sleeping on the couch. And that's for
but
damn
I mean,
sure.
He like turned on everybody, and that was like his friend.
When she was just like, listen.
Yeah. I think she puts him back in his place.
Yeah, she did.
I think that she made him choke. You know, I think people can make a wrong decision, but you have to give them a chance to make the right decision. And, you know, I think we saw Baku make the right decision, mm-hmm. and we saw Killmonger get a chance to make the right decision, and he decided not to. Yeah. You know, I mean, yes, I understand he had a lot of hatred about his father dying, but as soon as T'Challa realized what had happened, he went to him and asked for forgiveness and said, had I known, we would have come for you sooner, and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, I mean, whether or not he believed him or not, I think T'Challa kept proving to him, you know, we can do this differently. And he didn't want to hear it. So I think, but you know, the fact of the matter is that actor is the one that was in Get Out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so there's a meme going around saying this guy just continues to make bad choices. Oh. And it's a picture of him with, you know, Allison Williams. And then there's a picture of him with Killmonger. It's like, maybe you're not the best decision maker.
I'm going to have to go look up these memes and stuff.
Oh, my God.
So many.
That's the only thing I can look at Facebook right now. I just, there's too much hate.
I really liked the one with Black Panther sitting in a box because that did actually cross my mind.
Like when a cat in fighting. A box.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
When they were fighting, all I could think of was somebody just throw a couple boxes.
They'll just sit in the box.
I'm waiting for the Deadpool meme with kitty litter. I'm just waiting. But yeah. And I'm excited about Deadpool next.
So am I, yeah.
I think that's one of my next ones that I'm excited about.
I
will say,
I feel like that trailer was one of those ones where I was like, what the fuck is this about?
For did Deadpool? You not see the Deadpool? Did you see first Deadpool? Deadpool?
Yeah, you went with us. Yeah.
No, but I mean, right. Now I know how Deadpool, I know all that. But like the trailer itself, I'm like.
So the first time I saw it, I didn't realize that. I know they said Cable had green arm, but I it was too fast for me. It was a long day at work. I don't know what to tell you, but then the second time I watched it, I laughed more. So I
maybe that's it. It was the first time I'd seen it, and I was like,
it's definitely
what is this movie about?
I think it's definitely though for that Cable is very comic booky. You're not gonna. He's never. He's been in some X-Men cartoons, but he's really not a prominent character outside of the geeky comic book world at all. But what's really fucked up is if they ever want to explore it, he's actually a version of Cyclops's and Phoenix's son.
Yeah.
Like he grew up and he actually has telekinetic powers and he had this techno virus and that's why he has the arm. It's actually from an infection. He was sick. Oh. And it's pretty interesting. And one of his eyes is actually cybernetic as well. So it's
he's
really
the bionic
weird,
but, man reboot.
But unfortunately in the '90s, everybody drew him with, it's just the way it was, all these huge like biceps and these huge guns and stuff. So see Josh Brolin, you're like, oh, he's so small compared to
that kind of small.
Josh Brolin's not small.
No, I'm saying compared to his origin. Yeah. He
Josh
was just
Brolin's
a monster.
Kind of my body
he was
type too. Yeah. I'm just saying.
I'll get my cybernetic arm ready. Oh, baby. Order some new attachments. Here we go.
Just tell me how many batteries to order off Amazon. I'll be there for you.
They're all D's.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, yeah.
All right. So I think we've kind of covered that movie. Are there any other quick movie reviews anybody wants to throw out there, Carol?
I actually have not been to the movies since I know it's freaking amazing.
Carol, are you okay? I thought you went to the game.
Well, the problem is it's Oscar season, and so the art house movies are full of Oscar movies that I've already seen.
Oh yeah, they're just like cluttering up the manor. It's like you're going to keep those there.
They're
going to
keep Darkest Hour and Call Me by Your Name there for another 2 months, or at least another 2 weeks until the Oscars. But did I say Phantom Thread last time we did a?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, that was probably the last movie I actually saw.
Did
before.
Did you see Game Night?
Oh, I did see Game Night. Oh, da 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 da. That's how memorable it was.
So this is a Jason Bateman flick.
This one was just kind of there. Unfortunately for this one, it's funny, but all of the best laughs are in the trailer. Aww. So if you laughed at the trailer, you'll laugh again, but you won't laugh as much because it's not as funny the second time around.
And you know it's coming.
Yeah, know what's coming.
So Jason Bateman and his friends get together for a game night. They're very competitive, and somebody gets killed in the middle of
it. Well, his brother comes to town, and his brother, of course, is better looking and better, well, better looking according to this movie. I mean, I don't know if Kyle Chandler is technically better looking than Jason Bateman.
I would say yes. Jason Bateman. And I love Jason Bateman.
Not in this film. He looks all puffy in this film. But but his brother...
That's kind of my body type. Okay. Yeah.
Enough about your body type, damn woman. So his brother is wealthier and better looking and apparently has a bigger dick because they do actually talk about that. And his brother decides he wants to host game night and he does... a mystery game where somebody's going to be kidnapped and you have to solve riddles and questions and find out that person. Unfortunately, he's actually a smuggler. He's not the entrepreneur that he's put forward, and the kidnapping is actually real.
Oh.
And, so they actually wacky. Have to, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
So they have to actually go and save his life. And at least they don't belabor the... Is this just a game? Or, you know, yeah, this is just a game. They don't do that for the whole movie, thankfully. Or these characters would just be really stupid. But Jesse Plemons plays the crazy cop next door, and he's probably the best thing about the film.
Yeah, cool. He's in a lot of films.
Yeah.
He talks about the fact that he just has the face of a thug, so that's what he plays.
I need him and Matt Damon to be in a film, and he just plays his meth-addicted cousin, or plays Matt Damon's meth-addicted cousin, because that's kind of what he looks like.
He definitely has a menacing, like, because he kind of gets that, like, dead eyes.
He does.
Like, he's just sort of, like, I think of him in Breaking Bad and how good he was.
Ooh, yeah.
And he does that very well here. He plays it very deadpan, very serious, and very dead-eyed. It just wasn't, it was funny, but it doesn't help when all your best jokes are in the trailer.
Yeah, so it wasn't like, you have to run and see this in the theater. I think, like, Black Panther... Yeah, Black Panther is definitely something you want to see in the theater at least once, just because of the magnitude of the film, and the the scenery and all that kind of stuff. I think it's better in the big theater, but I'm getting the sense maybe game night
you don't really have to. You can come out, wait for it to rent or whatever. It's not a terrible film, but it's not a great film.
So like a Redbox movie,
yeah,
dollar theater.
Yeah. And it's rated R, which I thought was odd, because this is a movie that you're just cutting into your audience if you're deliberately cutting out the teenagers. So
gaming people might
actually
go to it if it's PG-13.
They say fuck like twice. If you could have cut one fuck,
wow,
you could have gotten a PG-13.
So this is by the same people as Horrible Bosses.
Yeah.
So it's that same level of humor.
Yeah.
So.
Which I liked Horrible Bosses.
I like the first one.
Yeah. So then it would be a good...
first one was...
It would be a good Redbox rental for you.
Yeah, so. There you go. All right.
And then I did watch Cloverfield Paradox.
Oh, I've heard horrible things of that.
This is...
I heard some people say it was great, but there are people I don't respect, so I'm like...
I love Cloverfield. I think Cloverfield is kind of an unappreciated giant monster film, and I love giant monsters. This, to me, was a fairly standard Black Mirror episode with a big monster stuffed in. This movie wasn't written to be a Cloverfield movie. It was written to be just a total science fiction film called The God Particle, I think. They kind of squeezed Cloverfield.
Kind of like they did with 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Which, wasn't written as a Cloverfield movie. It was written as something completely different, and then they squeezed Cloverfield. They did a better job in 10 Cloverfield Lane. This was just like you had 2 hours of science fiction, and then, a monster.
Sounds terrible.
And there's like a lot of backlash, I think, too, because they kind of stepped all over, like, Alter Carbon was starting to get some traction, and this was their kind of sneaky Super Bowl thing, but it's like it totally shit on something that's kind of similar to it, but done better.
It's not even really similar. Altered Carbon is very, that's more cyberpunky. This is more,
close
enough. They're both very sci-fi heavy.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
It's almost like a studio putting out two sci-fi movies the same weekend. You're like, what?
Yeah, why'd you do that?
Yeah.
But this was, obviously, they watched the film and realized it wasn't going to make much money if they released it in the theater. So they figured, we'll do the bright thing and we'll just throw it on Netflix.
Okay. Did you say Altered Carbon?
Altered Carbon.
Yeah, I just started watching that.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
It's really good.
A lot of naked butts. Like, yeah, lots and lots of naked butts.
Lots of them.
I watched something that was not... naked? Superhero or
not
anything.
As naked.
It was Netflix. It was called The Traitor, and it was the country Georgia, but apparently
the money there is so hard to come by and almost worthless that the currency is potatoes. And so it's this little half hour little documentary movie. And the guy drives around in a van and he has like stuff you would find in this room, like a cup or an iron or something. And he trades people like massive amounts of potatoes for it. And then he goes and sells these potatoes for money. But it is completely real. And it is like the most mesmerizing like 25 minutes
I've
watched. Oh, yeah. This is a documentary. But it's on Netflix and it's called The Traitor. And yeah, it is absolutely bizarre. And you're like, it makes you kind of think of like, you know, we value this paper money, but it's like, what's really valuable is potatoes because you can make stuff out of them. And it's just like,
it makes me think of the Martian.
Yeah. But this is like the real.
You know, it's also really valuable. Ketchup.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Especially there, for sure.
When you run out of ketchup.
And then I watched something that wasn't very good, unfortunately, by somebody I love, Bob Odenkirk. He's got a thing on there on Netflix, and it's called Girlfriend's Day. And it's like an hour and 10 minutes. They couldn't even make it an hour and a half. And I was like, an hour? Is this a stand-up thing? And then I was like, no. He's a washed-up greeting card writer. And the governor comes up with this new holiday called Girlfriend's Day, and there's this huge reward if you come up with the winning slogan and winning card. So it's all this craziness that goes on, but it's okay. But it's there's a reason that wasn't released on EMC event or something like that. It's like, we're trying to make this into something, but he wrote it with like two other guys, and I'm like, no, you're such a good writer, don't do this.
Tiffles, how about you?
Yeah.
Nothing new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did a lot more TV.
Yeah, I did a lot more TV too. This is the doldrums for us movie junkies.
Yeah. We'll save TV for TV week.
Yep.
Next week will be music week.
Yay!
So be coming back to listen to some more music.
But what are we listening to?
David Tyberg has a new release and then a second yet to be named album. Which we will get to you shortly, so you can listen to it.
Real quick, one more cool thing.
Is this movie related?
It is movie related completely.
Okay.
So Solo, A Star Wars Story, somebody recut the trailer to Sabotage by the Beastie Boys, and it is the fucking jam. It is my life now. I've watched it like five times.
Send me that link. I'll have to show it.
It's on the Guardians of the Geekery Facebook
page. Is it?
Oh, yeah.
So check it out.
It's freaking amazing.
Go look at it now. It's just a Sabotage.
Yeah.
There was one movie, I can't remember. Ooh. It was with 10 Reasons Why, the kid actor in that. There was a movie that was on Netflix. I can't remember the name, but it's like they're in the woods.
Open House?
Yes. Do not watch that.
Yeah.
Open
House?
There
is no point.
I have heard such bad things about
it. It's like,
what's it about?
This family, the dad dies off, and so this mom and this kid have to go to stay at this open house. So like Saturday mornings, this lady comes in and says, get out. We got to get ready for the open house. You can't come back. Right. And then there's just this weird thing that keeps happening. Like pictures get stolen. His phone gets put under the attic. She has to go down and like turn the water heater back on because somebody turns it off all the way.
Oh, wow.
And there's really no plot to the story, and the ending is horrific. I spent like 90 minutes watching this movie just because I already started it. I'm like, I might as well finish it.
What was the punchline? Just so you save us the trouble.
I don't think there really was a punchline. It was just like, don't stay at an open house because anybody could get in and then everyone will die.
Oh, no.
Oh.
And then there's this lady with Alzheimer's that keeps coming into the scene. That's it. Like, it's bad. Oh. I don't even know the name of it. I think it's called Open House.
It's Open House. Clever name. Another friend of mine was like, don't watch that.
No, don't.
Because I'm a horror movie junkie. And he's like, yeah, you don't want to watch that one. It's bad.
And my husband was like, oh, you're going to watch a thriller? Because I was by myself on the couch. I'm like, yeah, I guess I am. And it was just like, huh. Okay.
I know what you mean, though.
I find myself like, so there was a movie with Kira Sedgwick and Kevin Bacon called Lover Boy. And I was like, this is really weird. Because at first I was like, is this, you know, we have a channel that does like music concerts. And I was like, did I stumble across that? Is this a Lover Boy concert? Because I only know one song of theirs, but okay. But yeah, so it was Kira Sedgwick and was the main character. Kevin Bacon directed it and everything like that. And then he was, he makes a couple of cameo appearances in it. But I started watching it and I'm like, this is not going where I think it's going. But it was basically this woman was like bound and determined to have a child. And so she did all these different things about sleeping with men in order to get pregnant. But she didn't want a man in her life. She just wanted a child.
Who does?
Yeah, and then she gets the child, and it never quite explains how she has all this money that she's able to just buy a house, and she and this child grow up in it, and how they hide from people whenever people come over because she doesn't want to share her child with anybody. And I was like, but they tell this story as she and the child are in the car, and the child's like, come on, let's get out, let's get out. And I read the synopsis on Wikipedia because I'm like, I don't want to spend 90 minutes of my life and find out something horrible is going to happen to this cute child. And I'm glad I did that. So, yeah. So next time you're like, I don't know where this is going, go to Wikipedia and read the actual. It'll tell you like the plot. It will like take you paragraph by paragraph through the plot, and you can like decide.
See, there's two people in this world. I am the latter.
Because I was just like, no.
You just have to watch it to the end to see if it's.
I am not a good horror person. So a lot of times I'm intrigued by a story because I like the creativity sometimes of horror, but I don't actually want to see it all. And so I will go and read to decide whether or not I'm going to watch it all. So.
Speaking of horror, I do want to throw out that I saw Killing Giggles,
what?
Which is the teaser for our friend Jason Buterin's new film, Kill Giggles.
Oh.
He debuted it's kind of a teaser trailer, extended trailer.
Okay.
About his film. It's about a serial killer that kills clowns.
Good.
Yeah.
I can get behind that. Yeah.
Good riddance.
As opposed to a clown killing serial killer.
Yeah, this is a serial like killer that targets clowns. And if anyone knows Jason, he has a serious fear of clowns. So this is deeply personal for him.
I wonder how he filmed it
carefully.
Yeah. So are we going to be able to see the full movie at Mysticon?
No, he's showing Killing Giggles again at Mysticon, but the film's not done. It won't be done until next year.
Okay.
I'm hoping for a premiere somewhere else.
Oh,
hoping.
Nice.
We all raised our eyebrows with a knowing glance. Yeah, but we can't tell you about it.
I can't say anything. I can't say anything.
Okay, moving on. So yeah, Killing Giggles
is the teaser trailer.
Go check it out.
Yeah,
cool.
Mad One Films.
Yeah. All right. Well, Tasha, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Yeah. Thank you for being part of our movie week. Make sure you go back and listen to episode 204, where you can learn why she does yoga and why she does improv and why she doesn't do banking anymore. Yep. And then you can learn about way too much about us because we always make it about us anyway.
So narcissistic.
That's right. All right,
Tiffany. Hey, Tiffany, just talk into the mic so people know you're still here.
Hello.
All right. Well, that's it. I think we can go ahead and zero us out there.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery and on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Kilstofta. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.